Thank you, Brother Beck. I am happy to be here this evening and do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and greet all those that are listening in online this evening. I told Steve this morning when he walked in the church, I told him that I hope he had something for me today, because I didn't have a subject for this evening, and so that he was going to have some scriptures that I could use for this evening. And so really all I'm going to do this evening is build on what Steve preached this morning. And I hope that that's what I accomplish. That was, I feel like the message that he had this morning was a really good message for our day and time. So I'm just going to try to kind of build on that and bring some additional thoughts. So some of the scriptures I have are the same scriptures that he used, maybe with just a little bit more preceding and after. So I'd like to start in 4th Nephi, chapter 1, verse 1. And it came to pass that at the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th year, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands around about. And as many as did come unto them, they did truly repent of their sins and were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they did also receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year that people were all converted unto the Lord upon the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there was no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly with one another. And they had all things common among them. Therefore, they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass that in the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear. And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men, and nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. And thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th year, and the 41st, and the 42nd, and yea, until the 49 years had passed away, and also the 51st, and the 52nd, yea, even until 59 years had passed away. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, insomuch that they did build cities again, where cities had burned, yea, even that great city Zarahemla did they cause to be built again. So they had, after Christ, the church was spread throughout the land, and there was peace. There was peace amongst the brothers and the sisters. There were no Lamanites and no Nephites. They were all one. And really, truly, as Steve said, there could there be any happier people? And this is a joy to think about, that there would be those that would dedicate themselves to the gospel of Christ, to the work of the church, to have love for one another and compassion for one another, that they would have all things common. And when I think about that, all things common, that also means to me that they would help one another when they were in need, not just with those monetary things, but with the other needs that they had in their lives to strengthen one another. When I think about what it truly means to have all things common. If we read on and skip down to the 15th verse, and it came to pass that the 71st year passed away, and also the 72nd year, and in fine until the 79th year passed away, yea, 100 years had passed away, and the disciples of Jesus whom he had chosen had gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, no strifes, no tumults, no whoredoms, no lyings, nor murders, nor any kind of lasciviousness. So a long time passed away. You think about 100 years, you think about what that means in time of a person's life. 100 years. That means a child could be born in that 100-year period, grow up in a completely different world than what we know. They would grow up in a world that didn't have the strife, that didn't have the whoredoms and the lyings. There was nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. No manner of lasciviousness. No active seeking out. Nobody was actively seeking out sin. They honored God, believed in Jesus Christ, followed his commandments. There was no opposition to that. Only there were the humble, peaceful followers of Christ. And surely there could not be a happier people among the people who had been created by the hand of God. So what we would call that today, if we would compare that to, many people would say, well, that's Eden. That's like the Garden of Eden. The only thing missing would be the physical presence of God. They certainly had the Spirit of God with them. So it would be as close to Eden as man could ever know. You know, if we look at the history of the church in the Bible and compare it to what we just read in the history of the church in the Book of Mormon, there's no place in the Bible where after Christ was crucified and was ascended, was there this much peace and love. There was a lot of martyrs. There was a lot of persecution. There were a lot of things that went on that weren't according to the will of God. And they did not have that kind of peace that was experienced here. And so how unique that is in the history of man. In verse 20, it says, there were no robbers, nor murderers, neither their Lamanites, nor any manner of Avites. But they were in one, the children of Christ, and the heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years passed away, and the first generation from Christ passed away, and there was no contention in the land. And it came to pass that Nephi, he had kept the last record, and he kept it upon the plates of Nephi. He died, and his son Amos kept it in his stead, and he kept it upon the plates of Nephi also. And he kept it 84 years, and there was still peace in the land, save it were a small part of the people who revolted from the church and took upon them the name of the Lamanites. Therefore there began to be the Lamanites again in the land. So it didn't last very long. It was a short period of time, and it didn't last long. In the grand scheme of eternal life, it was just a small tick in time. It was there, and it was over. But we can only imagine what that was like. We can only imagine the peace that they had. We can only imagine the joy that they had. And it's a witness to us that it is possible, and of what we can expect when we go and have eternal life and spend it with our Heavenly Father, how much better will it be than even that? Greater and more peaceful and happier than they were then, we have a hope for. In verse 25, and it came to pass, the 200 years had passed away, and the second generation had all passed, save it were a few. And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied, insomuch that they were spread upon the face of the land, and they had become exceedingly rich because of their prosperity in Christ. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them those who were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and of fine things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substances no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true Church of Christ. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land, yea, there were many churches which professed to know the Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him who it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And so they turned away from the gospel. They corrupted the ordinances. And they served the sacrament unlawfully. They broke the commandments of Jesus Christ. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity and because of the power of Satan, who did get hold upon their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied the church, that they did persecute the true Church of Christ because of their humility and their belief in Christ, and they did despise them because of the many miracles which were wrought among them. Therefore, they did exercise power and authority over the disciples of Jesus, who did tarry with them, and they did cast them into prison. But by the power of the word of God, which was in them, the prisons were rent in twain, and they went forth among doing mighty miracles among them. Nevertheless, notwithstanding all these miracles, the people did harden their hearts and seek to kill them, even as the Jews at Jerusalem sought to kill Jesus according to his word. And they did cast them into the furnaces of fire, and they did come forth receiving no harm, and they did cast them into dens of wild beasts, and they did play with the wild beasts, even as a child with a lamb, and they did come forth from among them receiving no harm. Nevertheless, the people did harden their hearts, for they were led by the many priests and false prophets to build up many churches and to do all manner of iniquity. So God performed these mighty miracles, using the three Nephites, and they seen all that, and they witnessed all that, and they still denied it. Just like many people in the Holy Land witnessed the miracles of Jesus Christ and denied it and rejected it. So this is human nature. This is that natural man coming to light, ruining the work of God and not believing. If we skip on down to the 39th verse, and now it came to pass in this year, in 231st year, there was a great division among the people. And it came to pass that in this year there arose people who were called the Nephites, and they were true believers in Christ. And among them were those who were called by the Lamanites, the Jacobites, and the Josephites, and the Zoramites. And therefore the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ among them were the three disciples of Jesus who should tarry. And they were called Nephites, and Jacobites, and Josephites, and Zoramites. And it came to pass that they who had rejected the gospel were called Lamanites, and Lemuelites, and Ishmaelites. And they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. And they did teach their children that they should not believe, even as their fathers from the beginning did dwindle. And it was because of the wickedness and the abominations of their fathers, even as it was in the beginning. And they were taught to hate the children of God, even as the Lamanites were taught to hate the children of Nephi from the beginning. And it came to pass that 244 years had passed away, and thus were the affairs of the people. And the more wicked part of the people did wax strong and became exceedingly more numerous than were the people of God. And they did still continue to build up churches unto themselves and adorn themselves with all manner of precious things. You know, in the scriptures we are told that who we will yield ourselves to, whether it be God and Christ or whether it be sin and Satan, that's who will have the rule over us. That's whose servant we will be. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that. This is just exactly that, an example. Here we had a people that yielded themselves unto God and unto Christ, and they were happy. They lived beautifully. They wanted for nothing. There were miracles wrought amongst them. They were healed of their illnesses. Everyone was cared for. They had the love of one another and the love of God. And then yet still, there were those that went away, that left that by choice. By choice over time and chose another path. And when we stand back and we look at this and the happiness that they had, it compared to the misery that they went and came into. And so, like Steve said this morning, it was their choice that separated them from God. And it came to pass that the wicked part of the people began again to build up secret oaths and combinations of Gadianton. So they began to put themselves into bondage again. They were free in Jesus Christ, and they began to place themselves into bondage. And also the people were called the people of Nephi began to be proud in their hearts because of their exceeding riches and became vain like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. And from this time, the disciples began to sorrow for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that when 300 years had passed away, both the people of Nephi and the Lamanites had become exceedingly wicked, one like unto the other. And it came to pass that the robbers of the Gadianton did spread over all the face of the land, and there were none left, none that were righteous, save it were the disciples of Jesus. And gold and silver did they lay up in store in abundance, and did traffic in all manner of traffic. And it came to pass that after 305 years had passed away, and the people did still remain in wickedness, Amos died, and his brother Amaron did keep the record of his stead. And it came to pass that when 330 years had passed away, Amaron, being constrained by the Holy Ghost, did hide up the records which were sacred, yea, even all the sacred records which had been handed down from generation to generation which were sacred, even until 320th year from the coming of Christ. And he did hide them up unto the Lord, that they might come again unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, according to the prophecies and the promises of the Lord. And thus is the end of the record of Amaron. And the more wicked part of the people did wax strong and become exceedingly more numerous than were the people of God. And they did still continue to build up churches unto themselves and to adorn them with all manner of precious things. And thus did 250 years pass away, and also 256 years. And it came to pass that the wicked part of the people began again to build up the secret oaths and combinations of Gadianton. So, keep that picture in your mind of how they went from this wonderful state of happiness to the state that they ended up. And so, why did they go away? Why did they leave that? You know, the only answer we can have that for that is because of the foolishness of men, because the natural man is an enemy to God. And he won out in this short period of time. We go to Romans chapter 8, and Steve had read from Romans, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not unto the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that in that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruits first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we, with patience, wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that scattereth the hearts, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called; whom he called, them he also justified; in whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so this word predestinate, Steve mentioned it this morning. And it occurred to me while I was listening to him, his sermon, and he talked about the piece that we read about in the Book of Mormon, that time period where someone could be born and live in a world where the sin didn't exist. It's like they're predestined. They were predestined to see the glory of God. They were predestined to know his love, to know the mercy of Christ, to see the miracles that were wrought, and to see that. Who would choose to go away from that? They were predestined. It was their destiny to be born and live in that time. But that's not what happened. They moved away from it. But, so what is this saying to us? How are we predestined? For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom did he predestine them? He also called. In whom he called, he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. We are really predestined. We will follow the will of God, listen to the words of Jesus Christ and believe them, have that brotherly love towards one another. Rely upon the mercies of God. We're predestined, because if we will do that, we have that promise that we will enter into his kingdom. And nothing can separate us from that. Nothing. Except what we do in ourselves. Except what we choose to do. No matter what could happen to us, it doesn't change that. So we are predestined in Jesus Christ, if that is the choice we make. If we choose to follow Satan and sin, then that is our destiny. Then we are predestined to live a life away from God, to live an eternal life in damnation. That would be your predestination. So we have a choice. The wording that's used here is used to reinforce that idea that it's not maybe. If I follow God and believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God, follow the commandments, love my brother, maybe I'll go to heaven, or maybe I'll have eternal life with God and I'll have salvation. Or the idea isn't, if I commit a little sin here and a little there, maybe I won't end up in eternal damnation. Maybe. That's not the wording he's using. He is using a word that says, definitely this will be your end, whether it's good or bad. You're predestined. And that's really what he's saying. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In whom he called, them he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. So Steve was talking this morning about our calling. He was talking about you and me, that calling to go down into the waters of baptism and to choose Jesus Christ. Were we predestined to do that? Well, yes. Because the desire in our hearts was to follow God and to submit ourselves unto Jesus Christ. And that predestined us to do that. Because the next logical step, go from faith, repentance, baptism, laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Each one is a step after the other. Each one is a step in that direction. Each thing that we do in our faith. And so if we follow one after the other, we are predestined. That if we will do all of those things, we will have salvation. We will be redeemed. We will be with our Heavenly Father eternally. And that space and time that we read about, that little tick on the clock that was experienced and written about in the Book of Mormon, is just a hint at the wonderful things to come. That life with our Heavenly Father will be like, with brothers and sisters. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things, freely. All these things. So we're not to let our minds be distracted, like the example that we read in the Book of Mormon, where they were looking off after the shiny things, the pretty things, the beautiful things to wear, put in their houses, to lift themselves up, to make them prideful. We're not to be looking off after those things, worrying about those things. God has already given them to us. We have a promise for them, for greater things, not just those things. And I mention those things because that's what I know. That's what I know to mention. But I am sure that what God's talking about is much greater than anything I can imagine, anything that I can list, anything I can hold in my hand or have in this world. Those are greater things. And it says in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not be with him also freely, or how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave his son for us. He will freely give us everything else. Everything else. So we have a lot of things in this world that come against us. There are a lot of things trying for us in these days and this time. You know, we hear, I'm just going to be blunt, vaccine or not to vaccine, mask, not to mask. For some people, it's go to work or stay home. I mean, it's pretty serious, and I'm not trying to make light of it. It is disturbing. What little peace we had, that we imagined that we had, there's so many people that just want everything to return back to the way it was, as miserable as it was. They want it back that way. If we compare what we have or had compared to what we just read in the Book of Mormon, how miserable were we? And now we want to go back to that misery because it was seemed like it was just a little less miserable than today. What we should be doing is looking forward to what's coming. Looking forward to what we really need. Verse 33. Who shall lay any charge, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. No matter the misery that we're in, Christ is there making intercession for you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is right there. This trouble that we have now, it is just for a little. These things that cause us misery, that afflict our souls, they're just for a little bit, a little time. Christ is making and has made that intercession for our souls. So whether these things are causing us to question our faith or not, or separate ourselves from the body, or cause us to get angry with one another and lose that love of Christ, in all of that, Christ is making that intercession for us. And I know that that is hard to remember sometimes. But he knows. He knows. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We could add to that list. We could say pandemic and continue on. Traffic accidents, pollution, global warming. You can just keep adding to that list, and the list just goes on and on and on. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So in all these things, nothing can separate us from Christ and from our God, except if we walk away. And that's Satan's purpose. He wants us to walk away. That's what he did to the people in the Book of Mormon that we read about. That lived just beautifully and wonderfully in Christ. Got them to walk away. He got them to think about one little thing, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And the next thing you know, he had them right back in that same misery that they were in before Jesus ever showed up. So when we think about how it used to be. Just remember, it really never was that great. Got to remember what's coming and how much better it's going to be. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we are predestined. We are predestined because God makes a promise. If we will keep our part of the bargain and not walk away. Romans chapter 5, beginning in the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. And so Christ died. He died for the sins of the world. He died for us knowing that we were sinners. That didn't give us salvation because he did that. But he died knowing that we needed salvation. Knowing that we needed to be saved. And so that predestiny is that. But we have to make a choice. We have to make that choice to follow Christ and to accept him and obey our Heavenly Father and do all those things that he tells us to do. So that his death can atone for our sins. Because if we accept sin rather than Jesus Christ, then he didn't die for us. We'll still be in our sin. So it says, for when we were yet without strength. And so, when we were in our sin, we didn't know it was sin. We were weak, being led and tempted by the Satan. He died so that we could come out of bondage. So that we would have hope. But God commendeth his love towards us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as to offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus, hath abound unto many. And so it is that grace that is extended to us through Jesus Christ. In Moroni, chapter 10, verse 29, it says, "Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then his grace is sufficient for you, that by his grace ye might be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then ye are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. And now I bid unto you all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and my body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, an eternal judge, both quick and the dead. Amen." The end. I'd like to read in closing a couple scriptures. I actually have more, but I think that I've said enough. To read out a psalm. It's a psalm of David. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon in Sharon like a young unicorn. And the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire, and the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. the Lord will bless his people with peace. Thank you for your time. Please listen to the voice of the Lord. Where there is nothing that can go against it. Praise God.